welcome everyone to the Grace Hour Show, a podcast coming to you from Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. With me today, Pastor Ronaldo Brown, and we are talking about, God's commission to us and how that is, is fulfilled in the church and in believers. And we're talking today about reaching community and what does it mean to reach our community. This is Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, really in response to the question that the disciples posed to Jesus. Okay, is it now your plan to restore the kingdom unto Israel? And Jesus says, it's not for you to know when that's going to happen, but it is for you to await for the power of the Spirit to come on you and then to share the gospel in Jerusalem, the local area, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. So, you local, and then I guess neighborhood-wise, and then out, expanding that to your a more widespread community. What does it mean to affect a community for Christ, Pastor Ronaldo?
I like what you said there. It's so interesting that they were so, this is going to sound interesting, narrow-minded.
Really?
I mean, if I'm being blunt, they were very narrow, like, okay, is now, they were so spiritually, futurally oriented that they were no earthly good.
Yeah.
And Christ brings them back to the earthly mission, right? He says, like, if you read in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he says, go to the nations. Go and teach the nations. And then there's the plural pronoun he uses later, baptizing them. Who is that? The nations. And then he says it again in verse 20. He says, go to the nations. That's the them. And then in verse 20, he says, teaching them. Who's the them again? It's the nations. So the ministry of the church is to the nations. And you're kind of being sent to the nations. Meanwhile, Peter's talking about, okay, we want to talk about what's going to happen future-wise. My upfront and present is the nations. So the Great Commission, and you mentioned it really, it's about really the great community, right? Growing the great community, right? Growing the great community. And what is community? I mean, we are designed to be communal. We were created to be communal. Naturally and spiritually, we've been placed in communities, right? First it was family, right, in the Bible. Then it was community, right? So the expression of family is always manifested in community. The expression of the family of God is always manifested in the community, and not just the community of God, but the community of the world. Like, what's a community? It's people living together in a certain social unit within a larger social unit, within a larger social unit that may or may not have similarities, that may or may not have common interests, but the common thing they have is they're part of something.
Yeah. Right?
We were built to be part of something. And if one thing COVID challenged for us as a race of people is our need to be part of something.
Yeah.
Isolation takes me out. And sometimes Christians, they can get that Peter for Acts 1 spirit, like, I'm just going to go in the mountains and make bread and cheese. I'm going to sit in my room and my lifestyle, and I'm just going to focus on me and God and get monkish about it. And God very clearly in the Great Commission has called us to the community. And you can see all the things that are wrong with the community. You can complain about the community. You can isolate from the community. And that's the interesting thing that many churches have moved, try to move out of the community. It's too serious. It's too dangerous. It's too rough. All these things. But you don't get to choose the community that God puts you in.
No.
No, when you choose to obey the Great Commission, you are also signing up for the great community, right?
That's right.
You can have all these arguments. Well, we want to talk. You cannot be selective. Don't make your ministry narrow. Your parish, your church is as wide as the world. So just thinking about this idea about reaching my community, because really, if I'm not obeying the Great Commission, I am not reaching my community. I'm existing in it, but I am not engaging it. And that's the gospel. I'm engaging the community. So just thinking about this idea of reaching our community, I was thinking about two questions that I have to ask myself as a believer. that challenged me a little bit in my little spiritual mirror about how do I reach my community. Yes, I can pray for them, but more than pray for them, because notice what's not mentioned in the Great Commission, prayer. Mm-hmm. We should pray, but he didn't say just pray. They were already praying. So that's obvious. So Christ said, let me take you beyond prayer. Let me take you beyond gathering, and let me send you to the nations. And he gave them that before they got the Spirit. That's the next chapter, right? But he said, by the way, go to the nations and this will help you, right? Yeah. I'll prep you for it, but I want you to know up front what this is about. The same way I came in Galatians 4:4 and John 1:14-12, the same way I came for the community, I'm sending you, so send I you, right?
Yeah, right. So amazing.
So the two questions I was thinking, Pastor Steve, today was, the first one is, who are we?
Who are we?
When I think about reaching our community, who are we? And I would say in Genesis 1:26-27, we are God's revelation to the world. We are the best tangible picture of God to the world.
Yeah.
There's nature, there's the Word of God, and then there's the church. We are our divine revelation to the world. Because we're image bearers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's, you know, Jesus was saying that, you know, in the upper room when he was saying, you know, this commandment I give you, a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Mm-hmm. And he's saying the community that sees this community, the community of the church, the unity of the brethren in the bond of peace, the love that is shared there is a witness. It's like, well, love one another as I have. So do you know who you are?
Yep.
Do you see yourself as being in Christ and being valuable in that way? I like what you said there about, you know, the hermits and the monks and being monkish about it. Like, because I always think of the proverb that says, you know, a fool sets his sights on the ends of the earth. And I'm thinking, like, detaching yourself and trying to find, like, a esoteric, ascetic way of connecting with God is like, and I think that's why we don't have a clear, in the scriptures, we don't have like a clear breakdown of like what Trinity really is. It's just like they said, it's just that they drop the hints in there for us, like, yeah, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have to send him. And when he comes in, you'll do greater works than me.
Right.
I and my Father are one, but actually there are things under my Father authority that are not under my authority. And it's like, you don't really understand the community of us.
Yes.
And if we broke it down for you, then you'd, the thing is I think that, you know, the Ten Commandments starts with loving the Lord thy God, and then it gets into the like the sort of behavioral elements. But like, you know, we always want that sort of checklist.
Right.
And if we can have the checklist about what it means to be community, and then we just, you know, then we sort of get like bored and stale with it.
Right.
Instead of like, well, this is who the Trinity is. It's this. It may be this. You're getting closer. Wait till we're all together. Then maybe we'll even understand, but maybe it will. We won't. Maybe that's what will keep eternity from becoming a boring place, because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit will be ever revealing just the idea of who they are. And I think that's, you know, when you say who we are, when we understand that we are saved by grace through faith and that we are members of his body, and that we are in particular, and that we are peculiar, and that we are priests, and that we are also a nation. It's like all of these like layers are like, wow, just it said, but it starts with like who I am in Christ, and we are image bearers, you know? So, and I think when we look at a human being, every human being has a claim on us, because the breath in that human being, is also the breath that is in me.
Excellent.
I am not a living soul without the breath of God. He is not a living soul without the breath of God. So when we start there and we understand that, then we can begin to connect to each other. And then as we connect to each other, love one another, then, you know, family and, the relationship in the body of Christ can also be felt outside of that.
That's a good point. You're actually right where my thought is, that I was thinking about 1 Peter 2, 8-12 on this very same thought. But I like the idea that you have about this eternal community. That's a great way to see the Trinity, and you framed that nicely. The Trinity is really the eternal community.
Yeah.
We are being invited into the eternal community. And if we are being created in the image of God, we are created for community because we were created from community.
Yeah.
Right? And you can't really detach yourself from the idea of it. Like, as much as we want to try to frame what it means for the Trinity. And I think if you said God is ambiguous on purpose, he's definitively ambiguous. There's certain things he says,
Things
he's like, no, I don't have to explain it to you. I'm God, by the way.
Yeah.
So this is how it is. This is what you need to know. And of all the nuggets that we get scripturally and in our relationship with God that we glean about what the Trinity means, one thing that shouts at us is community.
Mm.
Let us go make man. Let us go see. It's this plurality, this oneness. It's this community. Ephesians chapter 4, community. 1 Corinthians 12, community. Colossians 3, community. It's this community. And the sense of community was given to us first naturally.
Right? Mm-hmm.
First comes the natural, then comes the spiritual.
Yep.
So we are image bearers first naturally, then corrupted but restored through the cross. So it's this idea of new family, new community. We lost community, really. We lost the intimacy of community. I'll say it that way. We didn't lose community. We lost the intimacy of community.
And the care among it.
Yes. Yeah. And we get that back through the cross. And then Peter says that we are a chosen generation. That speaks of intimate connection. And then he says we are a royal priesthood. That speaks of intimately involved. And these are two aspects of community that define who we are. We are intimately connected through the person of Christ. We are intimately involved through the relationship with the God. And then it says, this is the beautiful statement that you brought up, holy nation. That's a communal word.
Mm.
Where do you see that word nation at? Go all the way back to the verse at the top of the program. We said, go to the nations. There it is again. It's the nations. This is a communal word, right? It's a set apart group of people. And I believe this is the first thing you understand about reaching your community is recognizing which community you're part of.
Wow.
I would even call it the foundational community, right? For there's many communal groups, but the foundational community is the one that is connected to the eternal community, which is the Trinity. And in that relationship, the fruit of that, the growing of that, the sound of going from that community is how we reach all the communities, right? Because that's what the first century church did. Yeah. They just existed, right? They didn't have tracts. They didn't really have a deep message. They had prophetic messianic prophecy, and they had the words of Christ. They had a very small and narrow message, but they had a very, very big life.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we always question, well, I don't know enough verses. I don't know of truth. But you can have a small message and a big life because the smallness of your message is as big as who God is. So when you're living your life with God, okay, it's a word here. It's a word in season there. It's a decision here. It's if you look at the first century church, they had a bit. Biblical understanding of sex. They had a biblical understanding of family. They had a biblical understanding of the poor and race and all these different topics that are so controversial now, but it was very clean for them. It was very, very clean for them because they expressed the nature of the divine community within their community. And then from the dregs of society, the first century church was full of bad people. Are you kidding me? Thieves, soldiers, tax collectors, slave owners, all these guys were in the Jerusalem church. Yeah. It was a mega church of criminals, pretty much.
Yeah,
you get this idea like, oh, the Jerusalem church was full of the bankers and lawyers. And No. These were farmers and simple folks, very few educated folks. A lot of folk with some shady backgrounds. It's the same nature that Christ reached when he started talking to Zacchaeus and a woman in adultery. These are the kind of guys that were in the, and what did they have? They had a community. They fit because the parameters of their community was defined by the gospel, the message of the great community.
Yeah, that's so good. I think if we go back to the beginning of the Bible, we see the breakdown of community, and we see the lingering design or the lingering craving for community. Because when we see what happens with Cain and Abel, we see that Cain becomes angry because the works of his own hands and the thought of his heart. He's been swallowed up by the sin that crouched at the door. Mm-hmm. And so he erases Abel. But when he goes out from the presence of God, it says Cain built a city.
Yep.
So the craving for belonging
nicely said.
Is in humans. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in a person, once he got out of the, okay, I can't hang in the presence of God. Right. And I'm just going to go out here. And then he starts building community.
Yep.
In a natural way.
Undeniable.
Undeniable. It's undeniable. And then I'm thinking like, okay, so that was a troublesome thing. When we see Acts chapter 6, we begin to see Acts chapter 5, we have Ananias and Sapphira. We see trouble comes to the church
yep.
in hypocrisy. And the next one, we see prejudice comes to the church mm-hmm. in the widow distribution. Mm-hmm. And what do the apostles say? They don't take it upon themselves mm-hmm. to be dictatorial. They say, hey, community.
Well said.
What do you think about this?
Right.
And this is the first introduction of like, you know, we're in this together. You have a wisdom.
Amen.
As a multitude of counselors. Mm-hmm. Tell mm-hmm. us.
Right.
Tell us, you know, and that's a great thing to think. Like, if you know,
well said.
If we're to have effect on our community, mm-hmm. we operate as a community in the church life, and then people who come in, they could see mm-hmm. that operation
yes.
that goes from, you know, the last is first. You know, someone with a small gripe
yes.
can get an audience with the senior pastor. It's
yes.
like, and if a church is operating that right mm-hmm. way, it can you know, that can be the engagement, right?
Well, I also want to say the picture of community is not clean. It's crunchy sometimes.
Oh.
Meaning like, and by that I mean like the Bible lets us see In our expression of the eternal community, we see there's friction. Things don't always, people don't get along like this happens.
Thorns and thistles.
Thorns yeah. and thistles, like attitudes and problems. Like, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? So that war happened, but that doesn't dismiss our eternal need for community.
Yeah.
And one thing I like about God is that he's not intimidated by the turbulence of the community, right? He just said, nope. I'm connected. It's okay. It's all right. Like Cain went out and made a community separate from the eternal community,
yep.
separate from his community, and God still ministered to him.
Yeah.
He's like, nope, because you don't escape the desire of the eternal community to connect. Right?
Yeah.
That's why the prodigal comes back. And notice what the prodigal does in Luke 15. He still mentions community, like in the community, even the lowest of the community is acceptable.
Yeah.
I can get back in, not because the servants are well treated. I can get back in because low key, he realizes I'm still kind of connected. Mm-hmm. If he never saw connection, he could never come back.
Yeah, that's true.
And that gives a lot of folks hope. Like, okay, so-and-so's gone. Well, you know what? I mean, it's seasons. Okay. Community gets shaken, but who keeps the community? 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by the power of God. The we is plural. Who is the we? It's the community of God.
Yeah.
We are kept by the community of God. So that idea we have about who are we is important. If you don't know who you are, you don't know what you have, which is my second yeah. question. How do I reach the community? What do I have?
What do you have?
We said who we are is a revelation to the world, but what we have is an opportunity in the world. We have an opportunity. Well, what am I going to do in my church? What do you have in your life? Moses, what is that in your hand? What do you have in your life? What has God given me? Mm. We always tend to forget the blessings we have from God, but we also forget the opportunity we have from God. In this world, you shall have tribulation, but in this world, I'm sending you. I'm sending you into the world, to the nations, because you have an opportunity. You are salt and you are light in Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. So go be salty and go be bright.
You know? Yeah, that's a good... I think that's, you know, preservation and illumination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about salt, flavoring things,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
preserving things,
right.
and also the light is the illumination that we have. But I was thinking, like, when we're talking about Luke 15, we were talking about the prodigal,
yep.
you know, that big phrase there, he came to himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I don't know. We don't get so much of a history of Cain. You know, he's never talked about in a positive light anywhere, but
nope.
you know, if he was so inclined, if it ever hit him, he could come to himself and have come back to the presence of the Lord.
Absolutely.
I think of Judas's person, you know, after he realized what he did in his betrayal and tossed the silver pieces back into the temple, he could have gone and fell mm-hmm. at the apostles' feet, but they're all scattered. So mm-hmm. we don't know, could Judas have hung on to the hope that he didn't cling to the right kind of thing. But the community there is part of the community. The father, the leader of the community, welcomed the prodigal back. Yeah. And then there's a party and there's covering and there's a ring. All these things happened. Like, you have never been distant from us, but there is people who see that. The elder brother in the story uh-huh. looks at it, and his heart is far from what the community should be. Yeah. And so I think, what we have, mm-hmm. can we share what we have, or do we put hurdles?
Wow.
If you clear this hurdle, then yes, you are a part of us. And like the elder brother is saying, there should be a process here. Yeah. What'd you give away? You gave away the fatted calf. I can't even get a baby goat. And wow. And all of that grumbling just sort of burst out of him. And then I really think the kindness of the father has said, hey, son, mm-hmm. what do you have? Mm. Everything that I have is yours.
Yeah, beautiful.
And why shouldn't we welcome in this one who's mm-hmm. been living in the pig pen? Mm-hmm. Let's welcome him back. Come on. Do you realize what you have? And I think that's it. Do you yeah. realize what you have?
And we don't. And I think that's why, number two things. Number one, we don't, two things you just said. We don't share the opportunity. The reason why we don't share it, because we have put natural selection in the spiritual community. And that's the problem. We've turned it into Darwin's system for the
there we
the,
go.
The spiritual, yep. evolutionary position.
Oh, man.
You deserve it. You've earned it. According to my relative righteousness, this is why. And this is why we don't reach the community, because we put Acts chapter 15. We put things on people that God doesn't put.
Mm.
We hold a standard to them that God doesn't hold. Right? We forget what the whosoever means of the gospel.
Yeah.
Whosoever is the quietest, strongest word in the gospel. Whosoever, right?
Yeah.
When you get to faith and believe and love, what about the whosoever? Because that's community.
Right? Yeah.
Community. And God always has his arms wide open. Pastor Love's recent message. Why are the arms open? Because his community, God's the eternal community, is expressing his love, his nature, his care through his people, with arms wide open. But sometimes in the flesh, I close my arms a little bit.
Mm.
Start hugging people like this. What's wrong? Well, normally I would open them this wide, but did you know what he did? Did you know what she said? Well, there's no space. It's a very small arc. It's a really small arc when you do it that way. Yeah. It's a really small church. I think Pastor Rice said it yesterday. If you keep slicing off based on your standards, you end up by yourself.
Hmm. Wow.
The more standards you put in the community, the less communal you are. And before you know it, you are a hermit living in the mountains of Maine, making cheese and jam and a god unto yourself.
Yeah,
but
really.
Part of the strength as a community is that it's not based on your standards.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based on your observations. So if I have that mindset going into the community of the world, I have God's heart. And it's amazing how you can have grace and mercy and patience and long suffering mm-hmm. and empathy where people are. You sit where they sit and you've got a message, and then suddenly you're salty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Salt doesn't evaluate what you put it into, but it changes it. It does influence it. Salt is a condiment of influence, right?
Yeah.
You don't see salt in food, but you instantly taste its influence. Kind of sneaks up on you a little bit. It's the same thing with light. It's amazing. Doesn't take a lot of light, but when you walk in darkness, and I've been in some pretty dark places overseas, just a little light seems like a floodlight. It's amazing. It looks like it's like a little light over there on the hill, little small light. We used to do church in Uganda. This is back in the 90s. We used to have these oil lamps. You had kerosene lamps,
mm-hmm.
the paraffin. You had to pump them up.
Yeah, I got it.
The horrible things, disgusting things,
smell.
Oil,
everything.
But those things, a little bit of light.
Yeah.
You thought you were in Madison Square Garden. It was just super bright, but just a little bit of light. And wherever you are in your family, in your church, in your job, in your neighborhood, in your community, you might be the little light. And all you see is the size of the light that you contain. You don't see the size of the light that you have. It's not about the vessel. Mm-hmm. It's about the light within the vessel. Yeah. That's what shines, right?
Yeah, well, that's what they broke the pitchers, right?
Yes,
with
exactly.
Gideon, they broke the pitchers, and they thought there's only 300 men around them, but they, mm-hmm. they're looking at that, and they're seeing the light shining, and they're thinking, there must be battalions here. what was I going to say? I'm sorry. Wow. I lost my train of thought. There was a train of thought that was going there, and I went somewhere
Woo-hoo!
Else. And
now, that's okay. It'll come.
No, yeah, it'll come back.
But we haven't been in John 17, the great prayer of Christ. You hear a communal prayer for who? Mm. For two things: for the spiritual community mm-hmm. and for the whole community. He says, "Don't take them out of the world." Yeah. In other words, just because you've been elevated in your communal status by relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, because you've been elevated to that status, you also have his mission, mm-hmm. right? You have his ministry. All of a sudden, you're pushed all the way back to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now you're after the them. I'm going yeah. after them. We go door knocking after them. We go soul winning after them. We share a word in season after them. We have a track with someone in need at them. We have a ministry to people, right? This is the business that we're in. God's business is people, right?
Yes.
This is God's business. What do Christians do? We have God's life for people.
That's amazing.
God's life for people. We're living it. We're experiencing. We're expressing it. And the world in John 15, 18 might hate us, but God doesn't remove us from the atmosphere of hate. He gives us a ministry to those who hate.
Yeah.
Which can only be done supernaturally.
That's right.
You in the flesh have no ministry to people that hate you, but in the spirit, you can love those in Matthew 5 who hate you and revile you and attack you and persecute you. Why? Because you're expressing God's heart from his community. And you have an opportunity in this world. Every breath you are alive, you have a ministry. You are light. You are salt. You are witnesses. You are ambassadors. You are Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of all glory. That's the mission today. That's the wherever God sends you. That's it. What do I have in this job? What do I have in traffic? What do I have in this relationship? What do I have? I have the opportunity in the world to reveal Jesus Christ.
That's amazing. I want to take you to Exodus here because I'm thinking like when we talk about the progression of the plagues and we see that we're all in it together mm-hmm. for a while. There are Egyptians and the Israelites. And then all of a sudden, God begins to make a separation.
That's right.
We see that. And then we begin to see that at a certain place, I think it's with the hail, we begin to see that people who are Egyptian mm-hmm. recognize the communication that's coming to the Israelites. Mm-hmm. And they bring their animals in. They listen to the word of God and they recognize that there's a separation made. And then mm-hmm. it says when they were sent out, it says like a motley throng or a mixed multitude, yes. But it's more right. It's like all the peoples who were the less and the least, the last say, these guys are going out. I'm just going to hitch my wagon to them. And they go out with them. And I just think about that like, that this was the community of God. It got very large. They mm-hmm. were persecuted by the slavery when God began to speak to them. People noticed it and people attached themselves to them and they went out into the wilderness through the Red Sea with the people, the chosen people. I think even Pharaoh's daughter, mm-hmm. Pharaoh's daughter, the one who rescued Moses, yes. went with Moses. Mm-hmm. I think it's in Chronicles. Her name is in Chronicles somewhere, but it was, they went out. So this, this sense of community starts with like, okay, like you said, who they were. They were the people chosen by God of the patriarchs, the descendants of Abraham. This is who they were. Mm-hmm. And what they had was the oracles of God. Mm. That's the ultimate thing that we really have is these people had the communication mm-hmm. that God was given. And God was really giving lots of communication to Pharaoh graciously. Graciously, he was like letting things progress. Can I get you to this point? Here's blood in the water. Here's frogs piled high, stinking to high heaven. Here's darkness that can be felt. Do you want to know? I'm going to bring you as close to the reality of hell as possible. You're going to be so dark that you can't see anyone. It's just you. There is no community.
Wow.
And then the death of the firstborn mm-hmm. happens. And we know that God gave he spoke the witness. It wasn't done in a back room. Moses mm-hmm. didn't just take people in a back room. Moses spoke the Passover right. and the way of escape from it. So whoever heard, who, like you said, whosoever will, that's the big thing. Whosoever will, the multitude, the mixed multitude, got a vision from God and got the communication from God, and they went out with those people. So I think, you know, that's the thing. As the church, yes, we are separated unto God, sanctified.
Yes.
But our sanctification is not to be underground. It's supposed to be very much above ground, you know. And when we see truth falling in the street, I think it's, we are there to pick it up and say, this is the, you know, yeah, the world likes to trample on truth, but we can tell you what truth really does for you.
And that's really what kind of, you get that in the first century church. The church began to teach the community how to live in a very plain, practical way. The same way that you saw God, through his people with the Jews, taught people about sanitation and health and different things and a different way to live. The church in the New Testament also taught Romans and Gentiles and even Jews to a certain degree a specific way to live in a different, in God's community. You saw that expression.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we think sanctification, being separated unto God, but part two of that is among people.
Yeah.
That's what the John 17 message is. You're separated unto God among people.
Mm.
I would that I would not take them. I pray. Jesus actually said, I am praying that you don't take them out. Please don't take them out. Why does he say that in John 17? As much as he cares for the church in John 17, he cares for people too. It's like, I need them to stay. As much as Paul, I think it's in Philippians chapter 1, Paul talks about that, what he says, as much as it might be needful for me to go, but it's also needful for me to stay.
Mm.
It's needful for us to stay. How come the rapture hasn't happened? How come Christ hasn't come back? Because there's no more scriptural necessity that has to happen before Jesus Christ can come back for his church. Why does he delay? Because in 2 Peter 3:9, he would that none would perish. So his delay.
Yeah.
Later on, it says, I think it's in Hebrews 11, his delay is their salvation. Like
yeah.
The longer he delays, why? Because he cares about people. Jesus didn't die for the community and forget the community. And I think sometimes there's a message in today's Christianity that says, I've got mine.
Yeah.
And let them figure themselves out. I'm going to huddle in my churches and huddle in my Sunday morning mass and huddle in my buildings and my brick and mortar and just celebrate us. Right?
Yeah.
But forgetting about that, that's naturally, I'm connected to them. You said it earlier at the top of the program. We share the same breath of God.
Yeah.
We have the same opportunity in God. Why wouldn't I want for you what I have? Right?
Mm.
What do I have? Right? What do I have that is meant strictly for me? Every blessing from God that I receive is first for me, but it's always beyond me. It's always beyond me. Reaching the community involves seeking, going into the world, seeking people, actively looking for that. I mean, you're not going to find it if you're not looking for it, right?
That's right.
And then secondly, I would say it's speaking. Speaking. And then third, I'd say it's living. It's living that, you know?
Yeah.
Because before you were American, before you were an Indian, before you were an African, you were first a Christian. You're not an African who's a Christian. You're a Christian who happens to be African.
That's right.
You're a Christian who happens to be American. So that communal assessment is not primary. It's the spiritual community that takes the first precedence. And from there, that becomes the filter that I see all communities. That's got to be. That's how God has decided in Acts 15 and Acts 19 to inject Christian community into the world's community. And when we do that, we make a difference around the world in a very personal, practical, and individual way.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you said earlier. You did the evolutionary turns of phrase, natural selection.
Okay.
And the community, as God incorporated it and, incarnated it, really, because we are him, his body. But I think, like, you know, natural selection is about there's this group of people and they are dominant and everyone else is, you know, but Jesus said, you know, the last shall be first. And this is the thing, like the incarnated son, you know, he sought enemies of the Jewish community, the publicans. Matthew is a tax collector. Follow me. I want you to be a part of my band of merry men. Mm. And it's like, you know, and he left his tax table behind and became that. Mm-hmm. And so Zacchaeus, I'm going to have lunch at your place today. Thanks for getting up in the tree so I could see you. I wondered, you know, it's like big boy, with the big boy side. I'm going to your house. But that's, you know, the enemies, the ostracized of those communities, mm-hmm. They weren't welcoming. But then once the Holy Spirit entered in and this whole thing with widow treatment, widow care was like a new, I'm thinking people, widows probably came to the church because they knew they could get fed and cared for there. Mm-hmm. And that created like some tension because all kinds of widows are coming. And then the needy and then the poor, everything, you know, what was it? During one of the plagues of Rome, one of the historians of Rome said he was so anti-Christian, but he said, look at them. Look at them. They are the only ones who care for their dead in the plague, and they also care for our dying and our dead who are not a part of them. And there's a real man named Vincent wrote this book called God's Terrible Voice in the City. Mm-hmm. It was like a later in the 1600s, there was this last like big wave of the bubonic plague that came through London. Mm-hmm. And everyone went to the countryside. Everyone who could afford to get out of Dodge, get out of town, get out of there. They did, except for the preachers. Mm. And the preachers would set themselves up in the pulpit and people would come in and hear the messages of the gospel as they were leaving this life. So hundreds would die in these churches, but these pulpits were occupied by preachers who had courage to stand there. And some of them obviously would get the plague and die themselves. Wow. But that's the thing that we have, right? Mm-hmm. We have the truth of the resurrection, which Amen. Tells us that death is not the end. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for Christ representing for those 40 days, mm-hmm. showing himself alive, this is what you're going to be. One day you will see me as I am and you will be as I am. Mm-hmm. And that'll be the grand and glorious perfected community.
Amen.
So that's what our hope is.
That's got to be the hope. In other words, the ultimate repair is the ultimate unity, right? Mm. And it seems to me like hell is really God giving you what you don't want community on any level. So God, he removes it. That's part of the punishment of hell. You lose the sense of community. It may be the loneliest place in eternity, really.
Yeah.
Steve has got a question. I want to try to address this question. How can we reconcile doctrinal differences in order to expand our community? Because there seems to be a rift many cannot cross. Mm. Stephen, you're right. There are some people, it's amazing. This is why I'm thinking of one denomination right now. In this country, they have 221 different types of this denomination. 221. And every time somebody splits a hair about a specific doctrine, you can't wear a hat, you have to wear these kind of shoes, all of a sudden they get smaller and smaller. And I wonder what the idea of what heaven's going to look like. Mm-hmm. It's going to look like low-income housing is what it's going to look like. You're going to have all these small little condominiums for different groups of people who are part of the community of God. But I really feel like, Stephen, that we can reconcile doctrinal differences when we all walk to the cross and start there. Because that's where all
doctrines. That's the ground from. Of.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the ground and pillar of truth for the believer is the cross. And the further we get away from the cross, the easier it is to find divide.
Yeah. That's
probably
true.
My answer, Stephen.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, the Sons of Thunder were saying there's this guy down in town and he's preaching your name, Jesus, but he's not one of us. And Jesus said, if he's not with me, mm-hmm. if he's not against me, he's with me. So this has got to be, you know, John and James, you are two thirds of my real inner circle. Can mm-hmm. you just get this right?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I think kindness matters. I think like doctrinal differences are always going to be there. Why? Because, well, Pastor Ronaldo will experience this, but I've already experienced planning to give away a girl.
Oh, God,
at the altar, you know,
don't threaten me.
what I'm saying, like when the bride's family is preparing for the wedding, it's, you know, any wedding is sort of like a messy operation until it happens. The marriage supper of the Lamb is going to happen. And like you make the invitation list and like you can't, you know, you only have so many, you only have 140 meals. Who's going to come? Well, this one's going to be offended. It's like anyone who's ever planned a wedding, especially a wedding that you are paying for, which is for some reason in the Western tradition, the father of the bride, the family of the bride pays for the wedding. I don't know whether that's true. Me and my wife, we paid for our own wedding.
Okay.
And so that's one thing that we did back 43 years ago.
There's an underground movement. That's going to change.
So anyway, but I'm just saying, like, well, Stephen, I'm just saying, like, will there always be differences? Yes, because people are people.
Yes.
Can you say, are they for Christ? Mm-hmm. If they are for Christ, then they are with Christ. Mm-hmm. And like, it's not for me to know, you know, God knows their hearts. Mm-hmm. And God is, you know, and if I live in condemnation and try to analyze mm-hmm. what they're believing and everything, like I, and like we said earlier, making hurdles.
Yes.
So that people can hop into my community. You don't belong here because you don't have this right doctrinal stance mm-hmm. on this very, mm-hmm. very secondary issue. About how do we baptize somebody?
Like, oh gosh,
let's go. Like you say, there's probably 203 different versions.
My friend, you would marvel at the splitting of hairs of, and I don't want to make doctrine small, but what I want to say is this: be careful when you make your preference big. When you make your preference big, there's a lot of things Christ didn't say anything about.
That's right.
He kept it moving. He said, let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. Let's glorify God. Like Paul said in Philippians when he said, there are people that don't like me. If they preach the gospel and don't like me, praise the Lord for them. I'm not going to get caught up in a war of words about preferences and opinions. And I see it this way. At some point, we drop the baton. At some point, you stop reaching communities and you stop building a coven. You stop building your own little, small, little select. You get elitist is what you get. Mm-hmm. You don't get inclusive anymore. You get exclusive because we are the ones that all wear black tall hats and purple shoes. And that's a special thing. And before you know it, you start getting all these different narrow points of view. And then there's no place for God.
Yeah.
It's just your preference becomes God. And it's a state of relative righteousness based on your standard of preference.
Yeah, there's a book. What's that book? The Training of the Twelve. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the author, but it's an older book, and it really talks about the variety of people Jesus had on his team.
Nice.
So we had Simon the Zealot. I mean, you know, he was bent to kill anybody who, you know, and then he became one of Jesus's followers. Matthew the tax collector, we had these fishermen, mm-hmm. you know, and even a guy whose heart was always distant from Jesus, you know, but he was never exposed until the final night, and that's mm-hmm. Judas. So I would just say, like, these differences should not divide us. Okay. I mean, elder brother spirit shouldn't come into the room. Yep. It's like, you know, we should make merry because they were lost, they're found. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and if you're wondering who's welcome in paradise, you know, some guy who, you know, was a robber, murderer, got nailed up on the tree next to Jesus and said one phrase.
That's it.
Remember me, Lord, when you come into your glory. Okay, you're welcome. Come on in. It's like, if you wonder who's qualified to be in paradise, you just got to look to the thief on the cross and say, wow, that's very interesting. He didn't even have time to get baptized.
No, he didn't. No membership cards at all. Kidding me? There was no welcome table. They didn't follow up cards. There wasn't a home visit. None of that stuff happened.
All right. Give us the final word on community today.
If I recognize who I am, okay, I am an image bearer of God, and I recognize I'm part of the expression of the spiritual community of God, and I recognize what I have. I have a ministry. I have an opportunity. I have a journey. I have a calling from God. Then I have God's heart for my community, wherever God would have me to commune.
Amen. Well, friends, this has been the Grace Hour show. I want to thank you for being a part of this, listening and chatting with us. That's great. Thank you so much, all of you online. You can subscribe to our program several places. We're very thankful for all of those people who subscribe to us on YouTube and other platforms, Spotify and what's the other one? Apple Podcasts, all those things. We're just very grateful. So we're thankful for the numbers that are increasing, and we appreciate your prayers. And we pray that you will have an effect in your community today, whatever that community is, office, neighborhood, family, whatever that is. Thank you so much for being a part. For Pastor Ronaldo Brown, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis, and for Jehu the Great, we thank you for being with us today.